There are many different aspects of this uncommon courage that you and I believe, really need to look to. Now, uncommon courage is a gift, I truly believe, that comes from God in certain situations within your life, and when God calls you to be uncommonly courageous, such as the gift that gives a warrior that's in battle, as that warrior goes saves a lot of lives of fellow warriors, and they are awarded a Medal of Honor, Silver Star, whatever. That is a special time. Each one that has been awarded for their bravery will tell you, I didn't plan that. I wanted to go the other direction. But instead, don't really know what drove me to go save them. But I did. See, God looks to your life and He looks to my life and He looks at us and says, right down into the heart of who you are, I'm going to plant uncommon courage. You're going to be courageous in so much within your life. And I look at being courageous being so important to the point that I hold in high esteem parents who courageously raise their children in the way they should be raised, love their children. Are the mom and the dad who care about who their teenagers are talking to or not talking to, and the courage that it's going to take to stand up. And sometimes when you want to be at peace within your family, you have to say no, knowing that it's not going to be a happy place for a while. What Randy was sharing with you a while ago, I can assure you he didn't realize he was doing it, but he was introducing the message this morning. What do you do when you're looking for the courage to keep going when you simply feel like giving up? There's not a person in the sound of my voice that's lived any time at all that doesn't understand that. It doesn't understand that sometimes you just want to quit. You just want to give up. God's men, from generation to generation, God's women, from generation to generation, have always been challenged. And the greatest challenge that I've ever had in my life is the challenge that says, enough is enough. You've preached long enough. It's time to back off. It's time to leave or to quit. Let me tell you something about the courage to keep going when you feel like giving up. You and I, if you've raised children, I guarantee you, you've felt this way many times over. If you've been and had a hard time within your place of work, you realize that that hard time is going to come at the next place you work too, but you just want to quit that one and get another one. What's the key? The key focus is on following God's direction in your life. Life is hard. Do you realize that life, if you haven't noticed this, I want to bring it to your attention. Life itself does not always cooperate with your plans. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that things go wrong? Have you paid any attention at all? Plans fail. People disappoint. People disappear in your life. And later down, you think, wonder whatever became of him or her. Prayers that go up to God, that you and I will send to God, are not always answered the way we want them to be answered. You know why? God loves me. God loves you. If he answered the prayer like you want him to answer the prayer, you're going to miss a big blessing. You're going to miss the day of the Lord in your life. The scripture is full of verse after verse of reminding us about the day of the Lord is coming, which focuses on the Lord coming back for his church, for the bride. And then Jesus himself says, within the heart of every believer, within the heart of his Father, and the Holy Spirit convicts us of a truth of when the Lord comes, will he find faith on earth? What a question. Many, after a major loss, they're broken completely. Courage is gone. And with the loss of the courage, there's always that little voice that says it's time to give it up. Time has come to walk away. And many try to wait out the clock itself. They're just sitting there. They don't know what to do because tragedy has struck. And yet others in tragedy, they seem quite powerful in their reliance upon Christ. God has a lot to say to us. In 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 and 9, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed and broken. We are perplexed, but we don't give up and quit. We are hunted down, but God never abandons us. We get knocked down, but we get up again, and we keep going. God says, I want you to pay attention to what I want to talk to you about in your heart. I know that your heart is full and of a lot of questions that you have of me. How about listening to me? How about paying attention as I show you your life? And you think that it is so dreadful or that things are so miserable within your life. Let me tell you something. Not only do I know your life, I am the God of your life. The direction that you're headed, if it is wrong, I'll remind you of it. I'll be there to put you right back on that path if I have to destroy the other path. But I will do it. So you and I need to ask the question, what should we do when we are at a point that we feel like giving up? What should we do? How many times have you talked about it within your own family? I've had it. I give up. I quit. And then you open your eyes and the problems are still there. The family is still there. And then, if because of tragedy, part of the family is gone, we blame God. When we had already said, Lord, I want to quit. What should we do? Number one, tell God exactly how you feel. Tell God exactly how you feel. Did you realize that telling God about the hurt that's inside of you and your feelings, do you realize that that is not sin? That's worship. Telling God how you feel on the inside is an act of worship. Listen to Job when tragedy struck him. Job 1 verse 20, Job stood up. Gosh, they just told him, and by the way, all your children are dead too. Job stood up, tore his robe in grief, shaved his head, Then he fell to the ground and he worshiped. A cry was coming out from his heart. The great man of the time that had been blessed so mightily by God, he was hurting. He didn't understand life. Why is this happening to me? What did I do wrong, Lord? Let me tell you what is sin. Sin is foolishly accusing God of doing you wrong. That's sin. Well, God has just broken my heart. Why, you sin-sick Baptist, you broke your heart through your actions, through what's going on within your life. You broke your heart. God's come back to heal it, to mend it. Job 1:22, and all this, the scripture says, Job did not sin by charging God wrongdoing. He did not say, God, you did me wrong. Oh, I talk to these foolish people all the time that talk about, yes, but God allowed my child to die. God allowed this to happen. God allowed that to happen. I blame him for that. That's foolishness. It's from a foolish heart. And it's from a heart full of guilt. God says, when you belong to me, I want you. I want you to talk to me. Tell me that your feelings are broken because of life itself. I want to hear that. But whatever you do, do not blame God for the brokenness. He came to mend the brokenhearted. He came to heal the sick, to cause the dead to rise from the grave, not just physically, but spiritually. My friends, there are a lot of people sitting in the pews of the Christian churches in America today that are sin-sick and have no intention of serving God. It's just a place to be. Job 7:11, you know what he said? I can't be quiet. I'm angry and bitter. I have to speak. Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar, and the other one. That's why I keep Randy around for the other one. Four, the youngest, all of them talking to Job and saying, Job, why are you making these statements? And Job is crying out, because I can't be quiet. I am angry and bitter. He wasn't angry and bitter with God. He was angry and bitter with the circumstances in which he found himself. I have to speak, he said. Look at Lamentations 2, verse 19. Jeremiah, the prophet, remember, he is the author of, or the penman of Lamentation. And you got to remember again, between 27 and 50 years, because none of the scholars really know, that he preached and not one convert in all that time. And he says in Lamentations 2, verse 19, cry out in the night, pour out your heart like water in prayer to the Lord. Jeremiah was broken. He was broken because of a nation that he saw turning away from God. He was broken inside and saw himself as a failure because the nation of God had turned their back on the truth of God, and he would cry out, this is what's going to happen. People didn't want to listen to him. They walked away from him because he said, nation, you are sinning. A man of sorrows to the point that he was nicknamed the weeping prophet. He cried all the time, but from brokenness of what was going on around him. He told God one time, I have decided in my heart that I will no longer preach your word. I will no longer thus saith the Lord thy God, and preach it. But then he said, Lord, it is not a fair fight. For when I said that I will no longer utter your word inside of me burns like a living fire, and I cannot quench it, and it has to come out. And he says, I must preach it. Second thing I want you to do, first, you tell God exactly how you feel, but then accept help from others. Accept help from others. Oh, but my pride just won't do that. Your pride's what got you in this mess. Accept help from others. God does not intend for any of us to handle pain, loss, or stress by ourselves. He doesn't. He will send someone else. What good is it when God sends his man and people withdraw from the truth? What good is it when God sends you to someone, but that someone that God has sent you to don't want to hear it? Withdrawing. That sin is not laid on your heart. It is on the individual you were sent to. Listen to Job 6, verse 14. When desperate people give up on God Almighty, their friends at least should stick with them. I've seen more Christians thrown into the ditch of life by churches than you can imagine. Oh, but they sinned. Yeah, you forget who I am. I'm the chaplain at the jail. What were you doing there last week? People fall and they hurt. And the church says, we don't want that kind here. Well, that's sad, because that's the where Jesus spent his whole ministry, with the brokenness of life. And he demands from his church, whosoever will, let him come. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. Encourage each other and give each other strength. Well, I knew he was going to fall again. I knew that Christian stuff wasn't going to stick with him. Even while I was praying for him, I knew he was going to fall. Oh, sin sick, hard-hearted, whoever you are. That's why many young people back off from the church. After they graduate, go to college. Few ever come back until they get in their 30s. But what's going on in our generation that's any different? Nothing. Nothing. Pick up your Bible and read it and tell me you haven't read it in the headlines here lately. Look at what is going on within the heart of your own family, within the heart of your own community, within the heart of your own church. I've been mightily blessed by God to get to pastor Vine Grove Baptist Church for the past 18 years. Been mightily blessed with a congregation of real people that really love the Lord and never turn their back on one who comes seeking. Encourage each other and give each other strength. Galatians 6, 2. By helping each other with your troubles, you obey the law of Christ. It's called love, if you want to know what that law is. Helping each other with your troubles, you obey the law of Christ. Third thing we need to do is please quit asking God why and ask God, what do we need to do? Well, why, God, did it happen to me? Are you any better than anyone else? Am I any better than anyone else? But Lord, don't say and foolishly blame God. Lord, what can I do to help the mess that I got myself in? What can I do, Lord, to help others? Job had just learned that he didn't get all of his facts right when he was listening and talking back to his friends who came to be around him. Job listened, but do you know that he himself did not catch on for 38 chapters? That's a long time, 38 chapters. Long time. Job just didn't get it. And then Job questioned God. He did not blame God. He questioned God. Job 3, 11, 12. Listen to this one. See if you haven't, might have said it to yourself. Why didn't I die at birth as I came from the womb? Why did my mother let me live? Many mothers would not have cared whether you live or not. Why did she nurse me at her breast? Job 3:20. Why let people go on living in misery? Why give light to those in grief? Job 21:15. Who is the Almighty and why should we obey him? What good will it do us if we pray? Man, those are some tough questions, aren't they? They're questions, my friends, that you and I have asked ourselves. What good to do to pray, Lord? I prayed for this, and I prayed for that one, and they died anyway. What good is this, Lord? Why should I pray? Then why should you trust God at all? If you're a Christian, you will come under conviction to get back to the foot of the cross. If you're not a Christian and you hear the word, you can come under conviction to accept Christ. But it's time we get our act moved away and God's act brought in to our life. His actions are what are important and will give us the strength for every day. Listen to the fourth thing. Trust God in things we don't understand. Well, that's total trust for me. But I hardly don't understand anything anymore as to why things are happening and what's going on. I just don't understand it. How can someone cry out, I love the Lord, and then not proclaim his word to those who need help or need the truth? What good does it do me to give somebody a loaf of bread or a gallon of milk and not tell them that Jesus loves them? They didn't go to any secular place and ask them for it. Well, it doesn't quite work that way around here anymore. They just tell them to come to Vine Grove Baptist Church. They'll give it to you. And that's okay. Because they get a hug. They get the groceries. And they hear about Jesus Christ. Will they come? That's not my job. My job is to present the gospel. I trust God in things I don't understand, so that means everything I trust God in. Job 42, verse 1 through 3, and then verse 6. Then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do anything and no one can stop you. He's talking to God now. You ask, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? It is I. Oh, that's Job saying, I'm here, Lord. I'm the ignorant one you're talking about. I'm right here. I was talking about things I didn't understand, Job is saying. Things far too wonderful for me. I take back everything I said. Little wisdom there. Smart thing to do. And he says, I sit in dust and ashes to show my repentance. Lord, I'm back on my face. What we would hear today is, I'm back at the foot of the cross. I'm back in the dust of life. I'd much rather be in the dust at the foot of the cross with blood dripping on me than the ditch of life with everything the world offers. give me the dust, give me the blood. There's some things I want you to be reminded of. Remind yourself of this, that He is a good and loving God, that He is all powerful, that He notices every detail of our life, that He is in control, that He has a plan for our life, and that He will protect us. My protection is of God. Your protection is of God. Job 13, verse 15. Though He slay me, Job says, I will trust in Him. If it's God's will that I die, then let me be. But I'll trust in Him. God's will that I live, then let me be a servant wherever He might call. Let me do what God has called me to do with power, in strength, and in truth. God's will. Number five, when you feel like giving up, refuse to become bitter. Folks, a lot of people live in misery because of their bitterness with situations in their life. God didn't do it. Situations, people, personalities, and they're totally bitter. Do you really believe, let's say that you've got this Christian over here and this Christian is bitter with another Christian. You tell me how you or I are able to proclaim the gospel or teach the word or share the love of God when nobody talks to each other. Bitterness will eat you alive. Blame someone for a death, and you think, I can't serve God because that person over there caused the death of my loved one. God didn't have a thing to do with that person causing death. He was there, and He took charge. Job 1, verse 20 through 22. Job stood up, and he tore his robe in grief. Then he shaved his head, fell down to the ground and worshiped. Remember that? He said, I came naked from my mother's womb, and I will be naked when I leave. The Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord hath taken away. Praise the name of the Lord. And all this, Job did not sin by blaming God. Boy, he nailed his buddies that were trying to nail him. Job, it's got to be you. Have you noticed in life, in our own generation, when tragedy strikes a place and you know that that person may have strayed away or whatever, I've heard many people say, I guess God took care of that one. Can God work it that way? Sure He can. But He doesn't teach it that way that He does. God can do anything that He wants. Because somebody is poor and somebody is wealthy, does that mean that God abandoned a poor person? No. Because that's not what life is about. That's what the world tells us life is about. It's not about money. It's not about things. It's not about the bigger house. It's not about being able to do all of this good stuff. Not about that. It's not even about a lawnmower that won't run. It's about God loves us. Job 2, verses 9 through 10. Job's wife said to him, she wasn't very pleased with him at this, you know. And she said, are you still trying to maintain your integrity? Well, you know, the more I read that, the more I study it, the more I think that girl just didn't get it at all. Her husband sitting in the middle of an old fire pit in the ashes with sores all over him, scraping those sores with a piece of pottery in agony. And she says, do you still maintain your integrity? Did that look like an individual that felt like that they were that important to the world, sitting in the sackcloth and ashes? It was the integrity of his spirit she couldn't understand. Job, what's the matter with you? curse God and die. But Job replied, you talk like a godless woman. Should we accept only good things from the hand of God and never anything bad? So in all this, Job said nothing wrong. Huh. Interesting about Job. We find out later on in that story that the wisdom of his four friends wasn't wisdom from God. And God told them, Job needs to pray for you so your sin will be lifted. Job, can you still maintain your integrity being beaten down? The spiritual integrity that God gives us can never be taken away, no matter what they do physically. Hebrews 12, verse 15, second part of it. Watch out that no bitterness takes root among you. It causes deep trouble, hurting many in their spiritual lives. Doesn't it? Bitterness. Number six thing that we need to do. Face the future with courage. Job 11, 13 through 18. It was Zophar. Had finished talking with him, his buddy. Put your heart right, Job. Reach out to God. Put away evil and wrong from your home. Then face the world again. You know, his friends missed something. Job's family was gone. There wasn't a home. There was a house, but there wasn't a home. And yet, Job was blamed as having sinned. Then face the world again, firm and courageous. Then all your troubles will fade from your memory, like floods that are past and remembered no more. Your life will be brighter than sunshine at noon, and life's darkest hours shine like the dawn. You will live secure and full of hope. And listen to Colossians 1:11. We pray that you will be filled with His mighty, glorious strength so that you can keep going no matter what happens, always full of the joy of the Lord. I will never be pleased or please anyone in the world in which I live, but I don't have to be here that much longer. I got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. It is a home that's made through the hands of Jesus Christ Himself. You and I, if we've accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, we too have a home with Jesus. But we ain't there yet. A lot of work needs to be done. Do we have the uncommon courage enough to stand up to a world that not only hates us, but hates the God that we serve? God never told me to stand up and fight someone because of my belief. He did tell me to tell God on them and let God handle it. But it's got to be done with love. I've got to love people that I don't want to be around. But I do not have to accept what they do to others within their life. You and I have a ministry. Follow your heart and your ministry. For if you do not, that ministry will be taken away from you and given to someone who will use it, the gift that God has given. God does not waste. He will not waste faith on a person that doesn't use the faith they've already got. He doesn't waste mercy on a person who laughs and mocks at mercy and doesn't accept it. God's not wasteful. That's why you and I are still around. He still looks at us, and he can still shine us up, present us to his Father. But then and only then will you see perfection. And that perfection comes through the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful, because it doesn't get any better than that. Let's pray. Father, with a heavy heart, I lift mine for a nation that's backed away from you. And watch day after day, dear Heavenly Father, as your churches back away from your truth. Oh, give to us, Father, the strength to follow through until you say, come on home. Give us the holy boldness that we need to stand strong and firm in the presence of those who despise you. We ask, Father, for that mercy. And we ask, Father, that as you touch each heart that's present and all those that are listening, that you will bless them as they acknowledge your love through your Spirit. Thank you for Jesus, Father. Help us now as we make commitments to him. In Jesus' name, amen.